Tony Sad Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I'm all off in this group. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters. Cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Put the phone on last Tuesday, riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it better, do it right. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
Alright. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Thursday, March the 19th of 2015. And the time is 7 p.m. the Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. Excuse me. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my sister, we have another important topic scheduled for you today. And as you know, again, all of these are esoteric topics in nature, meaning that this is something that has an outside and an inside meaning. It is exo and it is esoteric. This is a didactic discourse. That means it is the science and the metaphysics of understanding the etymology of the terms and the words that establishes our world. So for 2015, we are establishing or we are building the temple. So everything that we are discussing is a part of a 10-book series. These 10 books, again, are private sale only. So people who listen to the show, who hear something on this show that they want to go further into, can pick up a copy of these 10 books. These 10 books, again, sell for $4.99 each. However, you can pick them up for $100 off or $400 each by making that monthly payment or joining us at the $400 level. That's $400 a month for the next 10 months. I also have a $75 a month club that gives you 3 books, a $50 a month club that gives you 2 books. I'm sorry, 4 books, 3 books, and 2 books, $75, $50, or $25. But again, just email me for all the details on what club and what book in that club that you would like to receive. Today's message, we want to talk about synchronicity. Let me get the correct pronunciation on this term, because this is a cookie blower, as they all are. This word, syncretism. Syncretism is a term or the word that we are looking at today. It just simply means confusion. So today, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about confusion. We're talking about the reconciliation of the joining together of opposing forces or principles. Syncretism. So syncretism, C-Y-N-C-R-E-T-I-S-O-M, S-S-M, syncretism. So syncretism is the under-over understanding of what some people call synecdoche, but they're not the same. However, the powers that be want you to think that they are the same. And they are presenting them like they do everything, that they are the same, but these are two different terms. So today, my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that what we have today is syncretism. So we have been given a historical change in language of two or more categories of language and culture that have been combined to create a new category. That's what we have today. So what we have today is the result of a plethora of information that has been lumped in together, and this joining together of opposing forces that are different schools of thought. But now they are presented to us as one school of thought because they have been blended together. And so this blending together of different belief systems now produces what they call as a syncretism. So this syncretism is very important because if you could understand that, then you could understand this, meaning what we have today. So what do we have today is a melting pot or a blending together of different forces that was not designed to go together. So how can you blend two things together that don't go together? Now, the powers that be state that this is yin and yang. It's like two pieces of a puzzle that fit. However, in syncretism, these two pieces of the puzzle appear to mesh, but they don't. They appear to mesh because they have been changed in order to mesh. So if I can water down something, this is what is called fusion. But they just left out the word con. Some people call it during, J-U-R-I-N-G, during. During is the absence of the word conjuring or conjuration. And so what we have is what is called a conjuring or confusion or syncretism. So syncretism, again, is the joining together of a pantheon of different deities, of different varieties to produce a new man or a new woman or a new religion or a new culture or a new society. Now, we see this together, and I am one of the individuals that I guess you could say kind of, if you want to use that term, and this is a bad example, but it's the best one I got. So I'm going to go with it. So I joined together, myself, African-American, my first wife, Caucasian. So we joined together two different principles, two different systems, two different schools of thought. Now, one of the things, now, again, it wasn't cool when we got, you know, I'm an old cat. So what I did, everywhere we went, we got stares. We got people talking underneath their breath. You ever drive through the deep south in the 70s and 80s with an interracial relationship? Yeah, that wasn't too cool back then. And so for the younger generation, they don't understand that. And so it is the blending together of two opposing or opposites. Now, I'm not saying that African Americans and Caucasians are opposite. I'm talking about our culture and our society at one point said that African Americans were three-fourths of a human and Caucasians owned us. I don't know if you understand. So it's like, well, I'm not going to even go there with that one. That may offend someone. However, these are some of the stuff that I heard in my early, again, in my first marriage. And so that is what is called syncretism. Syncretism, however, goes way back, brother, way back. So let's go back. Let's take a historical journey through some Egyptian deities that created what is called a variation, a regional variation. So there were some gods, there was a pantheon of deities that joined together. So this process of assimilation, this process of adaptation, this process of absorption, those are the three A's of syncretism. So syncretism, again, consists of stimulation, adaptation, and absorption. Let me make sure that we're on the same page. So if I want to get ready now, again, this is what all of us, so for all of my Caucasian brothers and sisters, this is what my melanated brothers and sisters tell me. They said that I was a sellout. And I said, well, why would you say that, brother? And they said, well, you're selling out your race. Now, again, I'm trying to come up with an example. This is the best one I have to put on the table to, so that you guys can understand what's going on in religion. So what is going on in religion is the same thing that was going on in the race. And so if you join two people, African-American, Caucasian, come together, they have someone that's, again, half African-American, half Caucasian. So that individual marries someone that's either Caucasian or African-American. So their child is what? They're three-fourths of one thing and one-fourth of the other. And then that child, and so you can either dilute one of the races. So, for example, perfect example, my son, okay, he's, again, half black, half white. Now, again, we're going through the three A's, so I need you to understand how Christianity got to the point that it is. This would happen to what you got. Now, you got, I don't care what your belief system is, whatever you got, it is a watered-down version of something. It is a co-mingling. It is the, how can I say this word? Amalgamation. The amalgamation of different cultures and schools of thought. It is the merging of different developmentals into a system of thought. It is the blending of two or more belief systems into a system. It is the incorporation of traditions and beliefs that are totally unrelated to made to be appear to be related. And so what we have to do is we have to get rid of the things that prevent them from melting together. So certain characteristics and attributes we got to drop off. We got to shave off this belief system. Otherwise, how can I marry paganism and Christianity together? That's what Constantine did. So Constantine said, okay, I want to bring about a synchronicity. I want to bring about a syncretism of paganism and religion. Constantine was a pagan. He worshipped Zeus. He was a Zeus worker. So he created Hey Zeus, which means hail to Zeus. You call him Jesus in the Spanish language. In English, he's called Jesus. Now, am I saying, now again, that's just a name. That's not the spirit. That's not the ruling disposition. That's why the Father says that the letters kills, but the spirit lives. So you got the letters, J-E-S. Well, I got the spirit, J-J-E-S. So my spirit trump your letters. So you go to the Father. Now, the Father says, the Bible says this. I didn't say this. I didn't make it up. In fact, I'm not going to even go off the dome on this one. I'm going to read this one to you. The Bible tells us that in the last day, some people will come before the Father, and they will say, Father, we heal the sick in your name. That's what they're going to say, in your name. They said nothing about the spirit. They said they're going to come in Matthew 10, verse 8. Now, this is important because this is how you understand the difference. Because if the Father is not going to accept it, he's telling you in advance, you come to me with some letters, I'm not going to accept that. If you come to me with a name and you ain't got no life, I'm not going to accept that. So you can drop the name of Jesus all you want like it's a freaking credit card. However, now for me, I'm impressed. You come up to me and say, oh, I know, do you know Jesus? Yes, brother, praise the Lord. And you speak Jesusese or you speak Christianese. You can fool me. I'm going to buy your Christianese. I'm not going to challenge you. You speak the language. You speak Christianese. But when you stand before the Father, Dad, now you got a problem. Because the Father is going to say, according to Matthew 10, 8, let's go with verse 7. Matthew 10, 7 says, and you shall go, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay, Matthew 10, 7. Matthew 10, 8, do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts. Then it goes on and it says, heal the sick, and I think I'm going to make sure I got the right verse. Heal the sick and, let me pull up right quick. And let me see. Nope, that's not the verse I want. Let me grab the other verse. But basically, it says that, you know, when we stand before the Father, we're going to say, Father, I healed the sick in your name. I raised the dead in your name. I did this in your name. I did that in your name. And he will say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So he says, depart from me. And it's Matthew, let me find it here. Where is it at, Father? There we go, Matthew 7, 22, 23. Let's start with 22. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons. And in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, that same verse, again, Matthew 7, 22 in the King James. Now, again, we're talking about syncretism, the combining of names. What we got is a manipulation of names. Every god, as I talked about in yesterday's show, I can trace back to Canaan and Ur, every god. Any name, give me any name, and that name comes from Canaan, Ur, Babylon, Egypt. Every name of every god inside of the Bible I can trace back. That's why when you debate these guys, they are very confident. They know that what they know, you don't know where your god came from. They know your god is a Canaanite deity, but you don't know that. They got letters. But see, they got letters. Letters can be changed. Spirits can't. And so you can, you know, it's like when you watch somebody saying I love you, but you look at their face and it doesn't look like they love you. See, I'm an expert in nonverbals. I'm an expert in body language. So everybody tells me, hey, Brother Will, you know, man, I'm for you, dog. I'm with you. I believe in what you're doing. But the whole time while you're talking, I'm registering, number one, your vibe, your energy, your spirit, and they're saying, no, I don't like you. But you're telling me with your words that you do. And then your body language is you telling me while you're talking, you're not leaning forward, you're not making no eye contact, your hands are not, there's no hands gestures. In fact, your hands are folded or they're behind your back. You're sitting back in your chair and you're looking down at the floor. So your body language tells me I'm not interested in you, I'm closed off. But your mouth is saying, Brother Will, I'm with you, I'm going to buy every book you ever produced in your life. In fact, I'm going to make a $10,000 donation to your organization tonight. Now, this is a true story. This has happened. But I was born at night, but I just wasn't born last night. So I'm watching your body language. I get the vibe from you, and the whole time I'm saying, yeah, brother, you know, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. But all the time you're telling me with your words, but your spirit is denying your words. See, I don't live by the letter of the law. I live by the spirit of the law. So while everybody else is living by the letter of the law, they're looking at what you say or what you do. I look at what you be or what you think. So you can tell me anything you want, but and you can do anything you want. But I'm gonna follow my spirit, and I'm going to listen to what my spirit says. So I am looking at why. I'm not looking at what. That is what is called syncretism. That's the thing that the Father does. So Matthew, again, in the New King, I'm not New King, in the King James, Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, I have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name I have cast out devils, and in thy name I have done wonderful works. I know a lot of people right now dropping the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, like it's an American Express black gold card or whatever the new card they got out. And then Matthew 7:23 says, and it's right there in the Bible, and then I will prophesy unto them. See, you're going to go, you're going to prophesy to God. Hey, God, check this out, man. Check out what I did. And God going to say, okay, that's cool. Check this out. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. And then he's going to prophesy and say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Now, that's pretty deep. Why does that happen? That happens because of what is called conjuration. Now, I've talked about conjuring when I did my show on Hoodoo. Now, conjuring, you ever listen to rhythm and blues? Why is it called rhythm and blues? Now, I like rhythm and blues. B.B. King, great rhythm and blues player. But rhythm and blues, unfortunately, is the most dangerous music you can ever listen to in your life. Now, when I tell African-Americans that, you know, the old slave songs you used to sing, you know why you sung those songs, why they gave the slaves those songs? Because they empowered their spirit so they can work all day. Those are spirits. Those songs, now, if you haven't heard my show on conjuring, first of all, there's a movie. I just watched it the other night. I forgot the name of it. About a couple down in Louisiana. And again, a lot of clients, a lot of people I know who I've helped get out of that hoodoo and voodoo stuff. Conjugation, brothers and sisters, conjuring. Conjuring, again, is the bringing forth of the dead, or bringing forth of voodoo dispositions, or spirit, or spirits. So conjuration, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about syncretism. Conjuring. Now, there's a movie called The Conjuring, a scary movie. I wouldn't advise you to watch it. It's a little cray-cray. But the definition of the word, it means to influence by or to call up or to summon up or to invoke by a spell. So the gospel, why do you think they call it the gospel? Conjuring. The Bible is a book of conjuration, conjuring. Solomon knew that. Everybody on the planet in the higher levels, they all know that. They know the Bible is conjuring the spirit. Now, if you don't know that, if that's news to you, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you are practicing grammar caster. If you speak the English language, you are a witch or a Wiccan. You are practicing Yiddish. Now, that's another study for another time, but it's not your fault. The Father knows that. That's why he says, okay, this is foolishness. I'm going to use it anyway. I'm going to take what the devil meant for evil, and I'm going to turn it around and use it for good. The devil says good. I'm going to take what you meant for good, and I'm going to turn around and use it for evil. So we got two opposing forces using the same system. Let me say that again. We got two opposing forces using the same system. Let me say that one more time. We got two opposing forces using the same system. And so you are arguing with somebody who used the exact same system that you use. That's why you're not getting anywhere. So all of these Black Panther Party brothers, these Egyptology members, these members of the Skull and Crossbones, they are using a simulation. They are simulating you into their club. And then they are use adaptation. They'll give you time to adapt, and then they give you absorption. They allow you to absorb that spirit. And then, bam, they got you. You have been controlled. Or syncreticity, which means a fusion of different belief systems. And then guess what happens? Once this happens, brothers and sisters, you have been what they call imprinted. That's what old boy was telling that girl that he wanted to genetically imprint her. So you can be spiritually imprinted so that way you can become an apostate. That means that you can conjure up a Messiah. It ain't the real one. You conjure up one. So pagans converted to Christianity to conjure up, to bring or to introduce three things into Christianity. Those things, again, are the result of those three A's that we just mentioned. Now, it's very, very important, brothers and sisters, so that way you can weed through that. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. People tell me this, and they get all depressed. Oh, so what you're saying, Brother Will? So you're saying, you know, man, I've been going to church for nothing. It's a waste of my time. That's not what I'm saying, brother. That's not what I'm saying, sister. The devil knows you're going to get frustrated. He knows you're going to get angry. He knows you're not going to understand. Therefore, you can't expect. Therefore, you cannot manifest. You see, whatever you understand, you expect. Whatever you expect, you conjure or you conquer. And so it is the understanding that leads to the expectation that results in the manifestation that allows you to conquer or conjure. That's what paganism is. And so now they have introduced fables to re-conjure up sun deities or the Egyptian pantheon. So Egypt provided Christianity with the ideals that are not found in the Old Testament. Let me say it again. Egyptology provided Constantine's version of Christianity with the ideals that are not found in the Old Testament. And the way they did that, they introduced ancient Egyptian religion, and they fused it with the Nicene or the Nazarene faith of the real Christos, not the Christos. And so this, again, syncretism is the result of the desire to produce what is called a universal God. You say, well, what does that mean? If you go all the way back to Alexander the Great, I watched a movie that had, it wasn't Brad Pitt, it was the other guy playing the role of Alexander. Alexander the Great, back in 300 B.C., way back there, he took possession of Egypt. He also conquered Palestine and Assyria. Now, this is just history. So there was a capital city named Alexandria, after Alexander. And it was built on the land that he had conquered. Now, this land was near the Mediterranean. Now, this land was a very prized piece of land because, again, wherever there was water was, that was very prized possession. So Alexander took over that piece of land because it was a very prized possession. And then from that port, that was the hub that allowed him to go out to all of Europe. Long story short, Alexander conquered. This was during what they call the Hellenistic period. And Alexander became an intellectual capital city of the ancient world. This started what they call syncretism. Everywhere that Alexander went, he toppled that god, and he introduced paganism. And so he allowed, or his conquest produced what is called a cultural fusion, which laid the foundation with that, what we call the Roman era or the Roman Empire. So all of these Roman gods, again, later turned over into what we call now Greek. And so the Egyptology or the Egyptian pharaohs, again, they took a title called S-O-T-E-R. This is really important. Now, I've done a few shows. I've talked about this before. The word savior in the Greek means soter. Now, brothers and sisters, this is really, really important. If you don't understand this, you will get tripped up. Now, that was what was that guy's name? That was an ancient ruler in Egypt. He was during the Egypt dynasty. And let me find his name. Here we go. It was Ptolemy. Ptolemy. There we go. Now, during this Hellenistic period, he was one of the kings of Macedonia. Now, Ptolemy started using a title. And the title was Soter. Let me get the pronunciation. Soter. Like Soter. Soter. S-O-T-E-R. Soter. Now, that word Soter, again, can be translated into, or the Greek root word for the word Savior. Soter, S-O-T-E-R. Again, translated into English as Savior. Let me say it again. Okay, Roman, again, emperor, became a ruler. He started to use a surname. That surname was S-O-T-E-R, Soter, which in English we translate, we took it to mean as Savior. Now, became an official title way back in the day, before there was ever a savior introduced into Christianity. So each Roman Constantine emperor used this term or this title. Even the Greeks used this term or this title. And then they proceeded to introduce earlier gods with the same title. One of the gods was Serapis. Now, this is a Greek god who took on a title as Savior. It was spelled S-E-R-A-P-I-S, Serapis. Now, this may sound a little boring. You may say, like, well, Brother Will, what does this got to do with anything? This is how people don't trip me up. Because, see, I can trace back every term and every word that is used in every religion. And so when somebody came to me with Jesus Christ, is not the Savior. In other words, there's a book called The 12 Crucified Christ, The 12 Crucified Saviors. Any Christian that read that book, you won't be a Christian after you read that book. If you don't believe me, go to Google, type in 12 Crucified Saviors, order the book, and then read it. The information in that book, you cannot defeat it. That information in that book is historical facts. 12 Crucified Christ before Jesus even showed up on the planet. I got a book 5,000 years before Christianity was ever written. That's from the Sumerian text. They talked about the Gilgamesh that disproved the entire flood of Moses. And so when you read that historical book and you read what's the Moses story and you go up against somebody and they tell you that and you're a new believer, what are you going to say? You're not going to be able to counter them or say anything to them because you don't have no research. You don't know how the epic or the story of Gilgamesh has to do with the Atlanteans, which is a total different period. So that wasn't the first time that the earth was destroyed by a flood. So you need some historical facts along with your religious beliefs to back up your story for your own self. At least I do. See, I'm like Dalton Thomas. I cannot just go by faith. I wish I could, but that's not the way my savings account is set up. That's a joke, by the way. So there was a God that was introduced. This God, again, was introduced during the Roman period. He was a pagan God who was taken from an Egyptian god, Horus. Now, Horus is called the light of the world. Man, where did I hear that title before? Light of the world. Oh, yeah, Yahushua. There was another god by the name of Mithra. Mithra was called the light of the world. And then this god, Serapis, shows up. And he was worshipped, again, as a state god. And the Romans took and they ordered by Roman decree. Now, I love the way the Romans introduced their religion. The Romans, they said, we passed a law. Everybody now will worship this God. And so it is either lie or die. Let me say that again. You want to know, because people tell me all the time, man, Christianity is a bloody religion. Yes, it is. Have you ever heard of what happened in Christianity? Even if you look at the Salem witch hunts, if you don't even get into all of the gory stuff. Because back then, you either lied and said that you did not believe or you died. That was the Roman Catholicism, lie or die. You lie, stay alive. If you don't lie, you die. That's why they killed a lot of Christians. That's called syncretism. That's the amalgamation that I was talking about. That was the process of joining two opposing belief systems into one new belief system. So this one new belief system now is implemented by death. You say, I believe, or you die. And so it brings about a synchronicity. Of course everybody's going to jump on board. So that was the Romans' way of introducing a new religion. And so they started off with one God. And then they went to many gods, and then they went back to one god. But the way that they went back to one god was by blending all of the other gods into one god. And it was introduced by Vespasian and his son Titus, and that one god was Jesus. Now, the Father already had a plan, but the devil wasn't stupid. Like I said, the devil was born that night, but he wasn't born last night. So the devil said that I'm going to form a allegiance with the Cretans. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Cretans, the Cretans, Cretans. So the Cretans, it talks about in Titus chapter 3. Now, the word Cretan is where we get the word Christian, which means dwarf idiot. Let me say that again. Cretan. Now, the Cretans were dwarfs, and they wasn't very intelligent. And so Constantine assigned a title. Now, nowhere in the scripture can I find where Yahushua, the real Yahushua, called his disciples or anybody else a Christian. Nowhere. No scripture. No ancient text. But we got a whole religion called Christian or Christianity that's based upon Cretanism. And Cretanism, again, is the alliance of the Cretans, Kres, K-R-E-S-T-O-S, the Krestos. It is the reconciling of different beliefs through what they call syncretismos. In the Greek, it's a Greek word. It means union of communities. Now, Yahushua was a Nazarene. He wasn't a Cretan. But what happened when you join Cretans and Nazarenes and Romans and Greeks and Babylonians and Egyptians? You get Christianity. Now, the word, again, sin, which means coming together, and Christismos means to lie like a Cretan. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot more to this about the Cretans. If you don't know anything about the Cretans, again, it's inside of the Bible of all places. Go figure. The book of Titus. All you got to read is read Titus 1, 2, and 3. Specifically, focus on Titus 3. Now, Titus 3, and I'm going off of memory. I should have pulled this up. I don't know the exact verse, but you want to look that scripture up. I know it's in Titus 3. I don't know the exact chapter or the exact verse where it talks about the Cretans. And the only reason that I bring this up, my brothers and sisters, is because that is the joining together of two opposing belief systems. Joining together is these two opposing belief systems that brings about this term that we're talking about tonight. Now, remember we talked about that word sotar, soter, where we get the word salvation and the word savior from. All of that, is a part of that. We talked about Serapis, S-E-R-A-P-I-S, which, again, is a Greek Egyptian god. Now, they fused together those two belief systems. The Egyptians and the Greeks got together, and they created a god. And I can't say they created a god. They added characteristics to a god, because the god has already been there. Now, for example, is there such thing as a Greek pharaoh? There is. That was a Greek general, again, Ptolemy. He was an Egyptian. He was Greek. But he fancied himself, he titled himself as an Egyptian pharaoh. And he took the title also as Sotar, S-O-T-E-R, which again means savior. He was Greek. How does a Greek become a ruler of Egyptians? By knife, by gunpoint, basically. You go in, you invade the country, you take over, you appoint yourself as pharaoh. But he wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Greek Egyptian. So he was the first Greek pharaoh. As the first Greek pharaoh, he says, okay, the Egyptians, they got too many gods. I need one god. So he combined Horus, Isis, all of the Egyptian gods. Man, there's too many Egyptian gods to list. He combined all of them together, and he came up with a syncretism by joining the characteristics and the character of all of these Egyptians, the Egyptian gods, with the Greek god Zeus. And this new Egyptian/Greek hybrid god became known as Serapis, S-E-R-A-P-I-S. From Serapis, then that included now all of the Egyptian gods, primarily Osiris and Horus, the Greek gods Dionysus and Hades, and the Greek god Zeus. They were all combined underneath this one god by Ptolemy, who appointed himself as a pharaoh, even though he wasn't a pharaoh, he was a Greek. And then it goes on even further down in history in the 3rd century B.C. when everybody was worshiping Serapis. Why? Because it was a state-sponsored religion throughout all of Egypt and throughout all of Rome. And then after Rome, again, toppled Egypt and Alexander was built and Memphis and all of this other stuff, this Egyptian, I can't even say god, pagan, we just say pagan idea, again, formulated and it morphed again. And that's where my homeboy comes on the scene, Vespasian. So Vespasian comes in, he crosses over into Alexandria, he takes control of Egypt. He conquers and he raised the temple of Serapis. And so now Vespasian takes over where Alexander the Great, and he's not Egyptian either. But he's an Egyptian pharaoh, and he appoints himself as one. But he's not, he's Roman. He's an emperor. But Vespasian sat on the temple of the temple of Serapis, and then he changed Serapis into another god. And that's where we end up. And then there was a few other gods, but out of Egypt, that's what he changed it in. That's where we start getting into Christianity. Because what they did, brothers and sisters, was combine a lot of pagan images, a lot of rituals, a lot of sacred sites, and a lot of symbols. They joined them all together. And this became known as the Egyptian Christian Coptic, C-O-P-T-I-C. Now, to most people, that this history lesson is boring stuff. To me, this is fascinating because I can trace back the root of every religion on the planet, because it has a root that's formulated from syncretism, the combining together of a bunch of different belief systems into one. And so if you don't understand how to trace back the etymology of religion, the same way I trace back the etymology of words, people tell me, and again, I love the word creative. Because if you look at the definition of the word creative right now, it means creative financing as in real estate or something like that. And then go get a Noah Webster's dictionary from like 1900. The word creative, something totally different. The definitions of the words have changed. Now, I'm telling people that even with your Bible resource, now I have blueletterbible.org software program from 10 years ago. I have blueletterbible.org right now, you can log online. The definitions of the Greek and Hebrew words in the resource has changed. Let me make sure you understood what I just said. So I'm a researcher. I'm a truthologist. I look for the truth. The truth doesn't change. So I look up the definition of the word blue in 1900. I look up the definition of the word blue in 2015. Two totally different definitions. And that is the case in every language. Something is going on, brothers and sisters. Syncretism is a combining of different contradictory beliefs. It is the melting together of different practices to produce a new school of thought. Syncretism, again, is a merger, an agreed-upon merger, to discredit one tradition and promote another. Syncretism is the ability, especially when we talk of theology or mythology or religion, it uses the three A's to do this process. Now, brothers and sisters, again, if you do not understand the magnitude of that statement, when someone brings you information to assimilate you into their belief system, you're not going to be ready. You can't defend it because you're going to believe it, so you're going to assimilate. And then you're going to adapt, and then you're going to absorb. And if you don't understand that three-step process, I can tell you anything, and you can't defeat it because I got facts. But these facts are a truth. Everything that I said to you is a truth. And so the Egyptian Christian Coptic, any Coptic text, let's break down that word first of all. Coptic, what does that mean? You're going to find it. I love talking to black folks because they got this Coptic book, and they got this Enochian Coptic stuff. They got this ancient ancestor, this, that, or the other. And that's what they hey, brother, this is Coptic. This is a Coptic book. And they said that, you know, people tell me all the time, you know, the slaves came to America and got a new religion. No, they didn't. They had their religion over there in Africa. Jesus was in Africa before they came to America. They just had a different name because it was Coptic. It changed over time. It morphed into a different name, but it's the same image, the same ritual, the same sacrifices, the same symbols. So letters change over time. Spirits don't. And so if you can understand that there is a fused tradition between Rome, between Greek, and between the pharaohs or between Egypt, bam, you got Christianity. So Christianity, again, is a syncretism of Greek, of Rome, and of Egypt. Now, if you don't understand that, brothers and sisters, you are in serious trouble. Because right now, you're okay. But what happens when the works and the art, the ideals, what happens when you read a book like The 12 Crucified Christ? What happens when you go up against an Egyptologist? What happens when you go up against a 33rd degree Freemason? What happens when you go up against somebody that's a member of Skull and Crossbones, and they start dropping some knowledge on to you, telling you that the same name that you pray to, we pray to? So it's Beelzebub casting out Beelzebub. What happens when they tell you that, you know, Israel stands for Isis, Ra-El, Israel? What happens when they tell you that Horus became a Roman Christian and changed his name to Jesus? Now, I can prove that happened. So what is your defense? What do you say? If I come up to you and I tell you Jesus is Horus in disguise, what are you going to say? Yeah, you're going to say anything. Why? Because Jesus is Horus in disguise. But you don't realize that that's two Jesuses. Because nobody told you about the twin flames. Nobody told me about the twin flames. The father had to tell me about the twin flames. Now, you can go to Google right now and type in the twin flames. You know what they're going to tell you about the twin flames on Google? The ascended masters. What else are they going to tell you? Absolutely nothing. Because it's not in there. It's underneath the Vatican. So you might want to ask yourself, well, Brother Will, that sounds great, man, but how you get it? Brothers and sisters, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying that I'm not saying. Why you think that these books is privately published and only made available for sale to certain people? The word Coptic means Afro-static language of Egypt. Afrocentric. Coptic. For all my melanated brothers out there, they love throwing around that term. And so they talk about the Coptic church. Because, again, it's Afro-Asianic. Let me show you how you're talking about a con job for all my melanated brothers. Even with people tell me, you guys do know that the guy Islam, how did Islam get over here? You know, old boys, whatever his name, I forgot his name, Muhammad, whatever the first one was in America. You do know that he was white, right? All you black folks who hate white folks, you do know the guy that taught you everything, that taught you how to hate white folks. You do know he was white, right? All you black folks, you know, you do know that the founders of the NAACP were all white. You do know that, right? You do know you can go to my website. You can go to Wake Up Black America. I got the picture up there. You can go to Facebook. You can go to Google and type it in. Founders of the NAACP. Now, the national, now, is that what does that mean? Does that mean anything? It don't mean nothing. Unless you don't know it. And when somebody presents it to you, you ain't going to know what to say. It's going to shake your faith. And so when somebody come up to me and say, you know Jesus is Horus. Absolutely. You know what they say? They nothing. So when they come up to me and they say, well, you do know Lucifer is Christ. He is the morning star too. Absolutely. You know that we call up Beelzebub with the name of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. I saw y'all do it. I went to the seances and seen it with my own eyes. Really? And you still believe in him? Absolutely. Nobody at my level believes in Christ. And you should be asking yourself, well, why? Well, that's why you got to stick around so that way you can find out. Because guess what's coming down the pipe when it hits the fan? Jesus, the Bible says that even the last days, even the elect will be deceived if I did not shorten the time. So this Coptic gospel is Afro-Asian. Now we got a problem. Because this word, let me get the correct pronunciation for it. It's going to blow your cookies here. Afro-Asiatic. Let me play that a little louder for all of my melanated folks out there. Let me pull it up. Here we go.
Afro-Asiatic. Afro-Asiatic.
Afro-Asian. Afro-Asianic. It's a Semitic Cush term. Remember we talked about three sons from Noah? You know Noah was a part Nephilim? So that makes his sons what? Why did Jesus Christ say, all who came before me are thieves? Somebody trying to steal you. Somebody trying to, you know, a thief. Thieves don't steal stuff that ain't valuable. I've never seen a thief break into a place that he knew was empty. Never. Thieves break into stuff where they stuff that they can take. So why would Yahushua say that everybody who came before him trying to take something from you? They want to give you, again, something that is watered down. That is what is called syncretism. So all of my good black folks out there, y'all might want to, you know, do a little research. You'll find where your belief systems come from. It's a Semitic. It's an Aryan. It is a Cushite term. Now, one of Noah's sons was black, Afrocentric, as they say. That's why the word is Afro-Asianic. It's just not Afrocentric. So we need to understand before we get all, you know, go kill, you know, this race or that race. Because all the races have been intermingled. So if you want to kill, you know, all the white folks, you might want to put a bullet to your own head. You want to kill all the black folks, you might want to, you know, string up yourself first. Start with yourself. Because you might have a little, you know, mixture of whatever you're trying to get rid of. You might have a little bit tainted in your blood as well. That's what syncretism is. These individuals started syncretic religions way back in the day. What does that mean? This is what they did. Ancient Greek, Judaism, Rome, Mormonism, Islam, Druidism, the Bahomian, Rastafarian, Buddhism, Hinduism, Indism, all of these religions, my brothers and sisters, Sufism, that's why I had to go through all of them. This is a religious syncretism or a religious syncretistic, if that's a word, world that we live in. What does that mean? Brothers and sisters, every religious belief system on the planet, bar none, has incorporated into itself traditions and beliefs that's totally unrelated to its core belief system. Everyone is a watered down version of its original. Yahushua was not Jewish. He was a Nazarene. He wasn't from Nazareth. He was Nazareth. Nobody has even heard of the Essenes or the Nazarenes. It blows my cookies because we haven't researched the true Yahushua. We just got the Constantine version. And so once you realize that our religion is multiple religions, multiple traditions that have been hogwashed in together, the culture has been watered down. So that way you can't say emphatically you believe anything, because it eradicates the old belief system for a watered down one. So this, again, this synchronistic belief system comes from history. The only way that you can reveal religious belief systems such as the Abrahamic religion is this ideal of exclusivity. Everybody tell you, oh, no, not my religion. My religion is exclusive. Exclusive is exclusivity. No such animal. All religions, again, my brothers and sisters, when you trace, they betray each other, because you see how different people came in and they married different belief systems together. I love this saying that a lot of people don't like. Yahushua became a pagan to save pagans. Yahushua allowed paganism to marry or to assimilate into Christianity to reach pagans. Now, syncretism, my brothers and sisters, is a result from the Hellenistic Greek period. Alexander the Great, again, along with Vespasian and his son Titus, and then Constantine, and then Josephus Bar Matthias, who became Josephus Flavinus, or Flavinus Josephus. Those are the primary instigators, along with Herod, King Herod. They established what is called Zeus Amon. Now, I don't want to get into that because we're out of time for tonight's message. But what I want to make sure that you understand is that whether we're talking about the Roman, what I call the Romanized Christianity, or the Romanized Judaism, this, my brothers and sisters, is presented to us as monotheistic, one God, but is polytheistic roots. It is a monotheistic religion that has polytheistic roots. It came from the Egyptology mythology, where that's why when you get guys from Egypt and they tell you, you know, Christianity came from Egypt, right? And Christians be like, no, it didn't. They be adamant. Have you ever read the Code of Hammurabi? Now, a lot of the stuff mirrors this, because the enemy, again, tried to become like the Most High. Remember what he said. He said, I want to ascend. I want to sit upon the north. I want to ascend. I want to be like the Most High. That's what he said, and that's what he did. So what we have now is something on the planet that is exactly like the Most High, but it is not the Most High. Because that's what his original goal was, to be like the Most High. So he was God's right-hand man. He was the anointed cherub that covered. So God wrote out his plans for the entire eternity and who was looking over his shoulder. And so it's just like if I'm writing a book and somebody steals my book and they go and they publish my book before I publish my book. Is that going to stop me from publishing my book? No. I wrote the book. I'm the original author of the book. I'm still going to publish my book. Then you're going to tell me I copied off of Jim Bob. But what if I can prove that I copyrighted my book before Jim Bob copyrighted his book? That's what this does. What I do is prove that what the Egyptians and what everybody else on the planet proves didn't happen. Everybody says that the Bible plagiarized everything from other religions because the Bible that you got dates. That's books that are dated 500 years before the Bible. Well, I got a God that's eternal, that he dates a plethora of years before that book. If you don't understand the God of the Bible, you don't understand the Bible. That's the problem with Christianity. Everybody that studied Christianity, they studied the book. That is great. I studied the God of the book. So everybody understands the letters. I studied the spirit of the letters. I don't live by the letter of the law. I live by the spirit of the law. Because the Bible says that the letters kill, but the spirit gives life. So I want eternal life. Because Yahushua came that you may have life and life more abundantly. I'm not interested in being right. I'm not interested in being wrong. I could care less about right and wrong. That's for other people. I did not eat from the tree of knowledge of good or evil. So I'm not a moral man. I don't do morality. I'm not interested in morality. What I'm interested in is in causality. While you talk about morality, I'm talking about causality. What's the cause of morality? The Father is the cause of everything. So I go to the cause. See, I'm a metaphysician. Everybody else talks about the effect of what happened to Christianity. That's great. Don't get it twisted. I'm not knocking your hustle. But I know your hustle came from somewhere. So instead of, I don't deal with the middleman. So I don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good or evil. People say, yeah, Brother Will, but you got a lot of knowledge. Where do you think I got my knowledge from? I got my knowledge from my life. I lived it. So everybody else read about stuff in the book. I went to seances. I didn't ask about them. I went to devil worship ceremonies. I joined in cults. I didn't read about them in no books. I became what I teach. So while you got theory, I got real life experience and application, homie. That's a big difference. Now, you standing on the shore of the beach, you ain't even wet, and you want to give me swimming lessons. Really? That's what we're doing. So you're going to stand on the beach on the shore and dry in full clothes. I'm in the water drowning, and you tell me, swim, brother, swim. Let me make sure that I got clothes, brothers and sisters, that you understand what's really going on in the real world. In the world I live in, you are in a pool. This world is a swimming pool. You've been thrown into the water, and nobody taught you how to swim. Now you got three options. Let me be crystal clear. Because, number one, this happened to me. I almost drowned. That's why I became a WSSI, a water safety survival instructor. I can swim backwards, forwards, left, right. You can throw me off in the middle of the ocean. I'd be great. Just don't leave me out there too long. Because they told me black folks can't swim. I'm like, really? Who told you that? So they said that black folks can't shoot. Really? Give me a gun. Then they said black folks couldn't read a compass. So therefore, you couldn't be part of no elite organization. So, you know me, you know, follow orders very well, don't take instructions. So I said, I want to learn how to swim. That's what happened to you. This is what I'm going to teach you how to swim, spiritually speaking. Right now, what's going on into the world is a swimming pool full of water. You don't know how to swim. The cosmos brought to us some kind of way you got here. Now, we can debate and we can argue on how you got here, but you're here. And now that you're here and you're in the water, you got option one. Option number one, learn how to swim on the fly, quick, because you're taking on water. You're drowning. Right now as I'm speaking, you're drowning. So number one, you better learn how to swim. Okay? If you don't know how to swim, guess what happens? Option two, you're going to die. You're going to drown. But see, I never go with option A or option B. You guys have heard my message. Never take option A or option B. Always go with option C. Every time I take a test, I know nothing about the test. I just go C, 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 C. And I pass. Craziest thing since sliced bread. So, again, next time you take a test, you don't know what the answer is, just always choose option C. So, again, let's make sure we're crystal clear. We're all in the pool. It's called planet Earth. So we throw down here. We don't know why we're here, but we're drowning. That's too much information. We can't, by the time I fight through all this knowledge, man, I'm going to drown in this. Too much information, Doc. You've been talking for an hour now. You ain't told me nothing. Okay, let's wrap it up. Number one, you drowning. Okay, what you going to do about it? Learn how to swim. Okay, Doc, I can't learn how to swim that fast. And yeah, I didn't think so. Number two, you're going to die. Oh, Doc, I don't want to die. Neither do I. So number three, you need a lifeguard. No, you don't need a life. You need a light guard. So Yahushua, not only is he the lifeguard, he's the light guard. So Yahushua is the lifeguard. That's why you need Yahushua. That's why every religion comes down to what do you say, whom do you say I am? Remember he asked Peter, whom do you say I am? Oh, some say you're this, some say you're that. They say, no, who do you say I am? He said, I say that you are the Son of God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So who do you think revealed this to me, homie? Who do you think revealed this to me? Did I read it out of a book? No. I didn't even have no life experiences. I know stuff I don't even know how I know. I've been knowing it since I was six. I used to get beat for stuff that I knew because the adults got angry because I knew it and they didn't know it. Brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, you need a lifeguard because you can't swim. Now, either you're going to teach yourself how to swim, you got to read a lot of ancient texts, you got to read a lot of books really fast because you're drowning as we speak. So you got to learn all this information and save yourself before you take on water, quick. So that means you need to hang up right now and go start reading some stuff because you got a lot of stuff to read. Because I've read a lot of stuff, and I'm still drowning. I still was drowning. And I didn't want option two, which was death by drowning. So I chose option three. I said, lifeguard, help. And the lifeguard has the shepherd crook. See, when I was lifeguard, we have this long pole. And it had a crook on the end, so that way I didn't want to get wet. God was driving. I was reaching out with the shepherd's crook, put it around him, and I pulled him to the side, and I would help him get out of the water. But thankfully, when I was a lifeguard, see, I was a lifeguard in Hawaii on the beach of Waikiki. I was the only black raisin out there. And I had a time of my life. And everybody asked me, man, why in the world would you want to be a lifeguard in Hawaii? Man, it was great. And so they taught me some skills to resuscitate people after they die. So you die, you take on too much water, I could pull you out, I could give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and bring you back from the dead. True story. And so while I'm giving you mouth-to-mouth, I'm doing CPR on you. What do you think Yahushua is doing to you? So you jump in the water, you drowning, you dying, and you drown to death, it's okay. No sweat. The lifeguard got your back. He knows CPR, spiritual CPR. So Yahushua, the real one, not the fake one. Now, if you call him the fake lifeguard, that fool can't swim. And he's a hireling. Now, you know what hiring means in the New Testament, right? It means somebody who's hired to do the job. They have no investment in you. They don't care about you. Don't call that guy. He ain't going to jump in and save you. My brothers and my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Again, everybody listening to the show, you need to go to my website, masterteacher33.com. Click on the link that says products and services. I have 50 books, over 2,000 audio shows for free. So people will be trying to ask me why I'm charging, because I got 5 years' worth of information for free. After you go through that 5 years' worth of information, then you're ready for the real deal, Holyfield. These next 10 books are cookie blowers. You need to get your hand on them. Again, each book individually is $4.99. So to save the $100, which comes out to $1,000 over the 10 months, join me at $400 a month. Or email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com and say, hey, Doc, I don't have the $400 a month, but, you know, I'm expecting a lump sum of money somewhere down the road. So, hey, let's negotiate. Let me know what you got going on. We can work something out. Or you can afford, for whatever reason you don't need, you don't want all 10 books. Again, I have the $75 a month option, the $50 a month option, and the $25 a month option. Email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. That email address again, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. My brothers and my sisters, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. Sorry, I went over just a little bit. Again, this information is very important. God bless you. His name is, at least that's what they tell us, is Yahuwah. His son's name is Yahushua, because the son comes in the name of the Father. Now, may the Ruach, the set apart one, we know him as the Holy Spirit. The Ruach or the Pneuma set you apart. He will always lead and guide. He will never manipulate or control. If you go to a church, an organization where somebody's trying to manipulate you or control you, that's Luciferian. Run, they're trying to drown you. The lifeguard, he leads and guides, never manipulates or controls. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Certified Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I'm all off in this group. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters. Cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an extra neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Was I'm born on that Tuesday? Riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it better,
when
do it right.
That
don't be worried about what some fools say. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes
so
me go hard.
Production.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes
so
me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.